Hallelujah. Thank you, Nancy and Jan. Thank you, Jane. Thank you, everybody. Happy New Year. I think the Clubhouse crew are going to go out with Jan. Is that right, Jan? Yay. It is amazing through there, all of the work that Jan especially has put into the room for the elementary, middle school age is great. And so, again, kudos to Jan and her helpers for a beautiful facility. You did have help, but it's great. And you guys are going to go out and have some fun out there. And we're going to look into the Word of God together. Happy New Year. Bring greetings from our kind of cousins in Boulder, Colorado. Jane and I were there last Sunday and had a great time with them in the Catch the Fire Boulder. Somehow along the way, I picked up a cold and brought it back. So I've been saving my voice for now, and I hope it lasts through. But we're going to continue our kingdom series, and we're going to talk about being citizens of the kingdom, what it looks like, what it means for us to be kingdom citizens. But before I dive into that, let me ask you this. Who likes coffee? Yeah. So how do you like it? Black? Black or heavy cream? Or? Oh, stevia. Okay. Varieties of that? Sugar. Good plan. Creamer with sugar and coffee, or just creamer with sugar? A little bit of coffee. Who else? Any other? Yes. Just black. Okay. I made a discovery while we were in Colorado. It's a thing called an espresso machine, and it is a glorious invention. And my mother-in-law had given us Christmas money, and so our Nespresso machine arrives tomorrow. Hallelujah. And so what I want you to catch is that the answers were varied about how you like your coffee. Sometimes I'm in the mood for just an espresso, just a black coffee, just a little one. Other times I'm in the mood for a whole French press full of French press coffee. Other times I'm in the mood for something very different. It's the same drink, but different ingredients. And the way that you put those ingredients together, you get a variety of outcomes. And it's the same for us in the kingdom, because there's a variety of expressions of the life of Jesus in each of our lives. Just take a look around the room. I know we're a small crowd today, partly because others have got more sickness than I've got. Others have been recovering from accidents and things, and they're caring for others, and others are away today. But even just in this smaller group, look at the variety in the room. Look at the uniqueness in each one of you and how different all of us are. And that's a beautiful thing, because we're here in church because we're following Jesus, or we're interested in following Jesus. And the amazing thing about the church is that Jesus didn't come to start a church. That was a very loud silence. Jesus didn't come to start a church. Jesus came to invite us into a kingdom. We are citizens of Jesus' kingdom, the kingdom of God. And that's why we're in this current series, unpacking what the kingdom of God means. Because many of us have been in church for a long time, but we've never really thought or embraced what it means to be a kingdom citizen. And so that's what I want to do. And I'm going to sketch out a little bit of background, partly as a reminder of what we've talked about already, and partly because it leads us into what I want to talk about this morning. We started out at the beginning of the series looking in Genesis 1 and 2 about how God created humanity for relationship with God, but also relationship with one another. Every superhero has an origin story, right? Every superhero has an origin story. Well, humanity has an origin story as well. And it's right here in Genesis 1 and 2. It shows us what we're supposed to be. But just like many superheroes, humanity has kind of got distracted along the way because of the fall in Genesis 3 and our rebellion against God. The things haven't turned out the way God designed them to. But the two kingdoms, remember we talked about the overlap, and I think that was week 2 or week 3 of our series. In that overlap, there are these two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of this world, where you do what you want, and you eat what you want, and you drink what you want, and you buy what you want, and you take care of yourself. And the slogan of this world is, I will. Because that's what the enemy said when he tried to make himself greater than God. He said, I will. And so everything that's founded on I will is to do with the kingdom of this world. By contrast, God's kingdom is different. In God's kingdom, it's a community of love. You've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and us. The kingdom belongs to the body of Christ in relationship with the Trinity, in relationship with the community of God. And there's love that in the kingdom that depends on the nature of the giver and not on the worth of the receiver. In other words, God's love is not affected by how badly you or I do. We don't lose God's love because we fall short. God's love depends on who God is, not on how we do. That love is always there and always visible for us to receive it. And so the kind of catchphrase of the kingdom of God is, let us. So that's what God said when he created us. They said, let us make humanity in our own image, in Genesis 1:26. So as we look through the scripture, as we've been doing in this series, we see that again and again, we're not able to fulfill the potential of that relationship with God. We've been deceived by the enemy, and so we're separated from God and we're separated from one another by the ways that the enemy's deceived us, until that event that we celebrated just a couple of weeks ago, where God became a human being. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us as a little baby, first off, in an animal stall. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:5 also says that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. No one has ever seen God, verse 18 of John 1, no one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. So Jesus reveals the Father to us. And he started his human ministry, didn't he, with that revelation and declaration of his identity at his baptism, where the Father said, this is my Son whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. And out of the strength of that, Jesus went out into the wilderness and he overcame the deception of the enemy. So there were those three temptations in the wilderness, and Jesus defeated every one of them. And as he returned from the wilderness, he then revealed his purpose in becoming a human being. Do you remember what he did? He went into Galilee and he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. That's Mark 1:15. In fact, he said the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, it's time now for us to experience the kingdom. I read a commentary, I can't remember who it was now, but there was a commentary, it may have been Dallas Willard, but he said that when Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand, it's a little bit like if you came to somebody's house for dinner, and you're walking in through the front door into the hallway, and they say, here's the dining room. And they point with their hand. And then you turn and you walk into the dining room and you eat dinner. It's a little bit like that when Jesus says the kingdom of God is at hand. What you've been looking for is right here. Why don't you turn and walk into it? That's what he means when he says repent. It's not about beating myself up for the things I've done wrong. It's about changing my direction to walk into the fullness of all that God is offering me. So Mark's paraphrase of Mark 1:15, that's this Mark, not that Mark. We could say it like this. It's time for God's kingdom to be seen clearly and expressed visibly, and you're invited to come into this kingdom. So turn away from the old disconnected way of life and trust your experience of God's love, because it's good news. And as we read through the Gospels, we see that Jesus lived in that obedient, trusting relationship with the Father as he sets people free from all of the consequences of the kingdom of this world. So healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead, providing food, setting the captives free. All of those things are ways of undoing what the enemy had done by stealing the rulership of this world from God. And in John 5:19, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son, and he shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel." There's only one person at that time who could live that way, and that is the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ. He is the king of this renewed kingdom. He's the king who can only truly be known by revelation. Do you remember what happened when, Matthew 16, where Peter gets a revelation? Jesus was asking all of his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter replied and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." In other words, you are the king of this kingdom of love. And what did Jesus say to Peter? He said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. And on this revelation I will build my church." And so there's a revelation of who Jesus is, and there's a revelation of what the kingdom is all about. And on that revelation comes the church. And we are part of the church because we've received a revelation of Jesus, because we've been able to see something of what God's kingdom is about and step into it. You see, we said this before, I forget which week, the kingdom creates the church, in the same way as a snail creates its own shell. And so when the kingdom comes, the church is created. But without the kingdom, the church is just an empty shell. And that's why it's so important that we focus on the kingdom of God. The revelation that Jesus has brought God's kingdom back to earth is the foundation. And there's this conflict between the two kingdoms that's already been won, and it will be finally resolved when Jesus returns and God restores everything to perfect love. So we're living in the overlap, as we've said several times. So before I get to what I wanted to unpack today, why don't we pause and pray for further revelation from the Father? Because that's the foundation of us living in the kingdom. Let's close our eyes together. Father, thank you that you're in the revelation business. You want to open the eyes of our hearts to see you more fully and more clearly. And we thank you for all that we see of you in Jesus. We thank you for what you spoke over Jesus at his baptism, that this is my Son whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased. Now, Father, let there be a revelation to each of our hearts in a deeper way than ever before, that I am your child, that I'm your son or your daughter, that you're pleased with me because I'm made in your image. It's not connected to anything I may have done, good or bad. It's because your love flows from who you are. And so let us receive a deeper revelation again this morning of our sonship. And let us live as kingdom citizens because of that revelation. So thank you that you're going to open our hearts even more this morning and show us fresh a new revelation of yourself. Amen. So in this overlap, where Jesus has already defeated the enemy, but he hasn't come back to complete the cleanup, the church is the visible expression of the kingdom. It's the shell that the kingdom is contained within in this season, in this age. And in Ephesians, this is where we're going to spend the rest of the morning, just for another maybe 15 or so minutes. In Ephesians 2, Paul tells us that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Jesus as the cornerstone. In other words, the building, not this building, but the building, the living building, the living stones that you and I are, we have Jesus as the cornerstone, the big stone that makes everything else fit together. And then we are being built on a foundation of the apostolic and the prophetic. And because we're citizens of the kingdom of God now, this is not something distant in the future. It's a reality today for every one of us. We're citizens of the kingdom. We're members of the church, which is his body. And each of us is unique, but our uniqueness is blended from the same components. Just like when we talked about what kind of coffee do you like, it's all coffee. And there's these ingredients that you put into your favorite drink in the morning that are a kind of equivalent to the ingredients that God uses to create the foundation of the church. And this comes in Ephesians 4. Verse 4 says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is over all and through all and in all." One body. Each of us is part of it. But then Paul goes on to say, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." Grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. If you jump down to verse 11, it says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith," and so on. So five gifts given by Jesus to the church that we can identify in ourselves. The grace was given to each one of us. So there's much more in you than you have yet seen. Let that sink in for a moment. There's much more in you than you have yet seen, because it's according to the measure of Jesus' generosity. That's a lot bigger than I've experienced yet. Right? Because there's so much more that God wants us to receive. That's why it's vital that each of us is on a journey into this revelation. And these five gifts are components that fit together and complement each other. And actually, to help us look at this, I've put a handout together. I actually recycled one that I used earlier, but I'm going to pass this around. You can take a copy each. Pass a bunch of them that way, Brandon. You can pass them along, and I'll take a bunch over this way. You can pass those around for me. Thank you. Five components that are often misunderstood, and that's why I wanted to focus on them this morning. You see, these are not titles or separate positions of authority to aspire to. These are more like the five systems of your body. You know, every one of us has a body that's different from other people's bodies, but each of our bodies has a skeletal system, the bones. It has blood vessels and muscles and nerves and all of that, and then skin around all of it to hold it all together. So we're made from the same components that all intertwine to make your body. And in the same way, the body of Christ is made from these five components that are on the handout. And so we should, I believe, be able to identify at least some of these components operating in our own lives. Because hopefully you and I are becoming more like Jesus. Does that make sense? What I think this, to change the analogy from a body for a second, if you shine white light through a prism, it comes out in multiple colors, doesn't it? But it's all part of the same light. And in the same way, when you shine Jesus through the church, it comes out in these five gifts that he gave when he ascended, it says, so that the church would be equipped, equipping the saints for the work of ministry. The work of ministry is simply serving the world with the revelation of Jesus. The work of ministry is not some special thing where, you know, the pastor stands at the front and everybody pays him or anything like that. That's not ministry. You being alive as a kingdom citizen is ministry. Let me say that again. You being alive as a kingdom citizen is ministry. So wherever you work, you know, whether it's at the camping place, you know, or the Dunes Club, or in the courthouse, or Champs, or, and I don't know where all of you work, but wherever you are, the kingdom comes because you belong to the kingdom. So, you know, when Graham goes to some state facility as the architect, he brings the kingdom as well as the authority of the state. He's got both because he's a kingdom citizen. When I help people with communication, I'm bringing the kingdom to them, whether they realize it or not, because I'm a kingdom citizen. And the purpose is to equip the saints, it says. That word equip is the word that's used for setting a broken bone. It's putting things back into the right order. It's like resetting our relationship with the Father, resetting the dislocation of our relationship. And it's beautiful because the body of Christ becomes fitted into its right place and right role. So these five labels, if you like, these five roles are body systems that are intertwined. It's part of the healthy mixture that God has put together that the body of Christ would be made strong. So let's look at them individually, and we're using the analogy of a hand. So the apostle is like the thumb. The apostle simply means a sent one. If you read the end of Matthew's gospel, every one of us has some apostolic in us because we're all sent. Yes, Mark, that's a good revelation. Every one of us has some apostolic in our mixture because we're all sent. Now, that doesn't make you an apostle, but it does make you apostolic. And it's important that we embrace that role, because the apostle role is the role of a master builder. The master builder doesn't design the house, that's the architect's job, but the master builder takes the architect's plans and makes them visible, makes them tangible, makes them real. And in the same way, the apostolic, through mentoring and mobilizing, brings the architect's blueprint, God's blueprint for the kingdom, brings it into reality so that people can experience it. So it's vital that every one of us at some point in some way operate in an apostolic manner to make God's plan visible. In the same way as the thumb completes the function of the rest of the hand. So that's what's unique about us and other primates, is that we have that, what do they call it, an opposable thumb. So you can hold, you can do what I just did. I can pick up a mug with this wonderful tea in it that helps me keep talking. If I didn't have a thumb, I couldn't do that. In the same way, if the apostolic is missing in our churches or in our lives, then we're hindered from expressing the kingdom. And for too long, the church in America has disregarded the apostolic. We focused purely on the pastoral and purely on the evangelistic, whereas the apostolic makes the kingdom visible by building according to the architect's blueprint, the master's blueprint. Then the next finger, the index finger, the pointy finger, is the prophet. And the prophet reveals the heart of God by hearing God and by helping others hear God. and activating others into ministry. So the prophet declares and discerns in the same way as the forefinger points. It points out what God is doing, points out what God is saying, points out God's plan, and also calls out people to step into the fullness of their destiny. So that's the role of the prophet, a revealer of the heart of God. Then you've got the middle finger, which is the evangelist. The evangelist is a story, telling the story of Jesus in a way that makes him famous. And that's an invitational role. It's a challenging role. The evangelist declares the story of Jesus and demonstrates the story of Jesus in a way that causes others to want to step in and to follow. The middle finger is the longest of all the fingers. It reaches out further than the others. But the evangelist also needs to operate in collaboration with the other gifts, because otherwise the middle finger on its own can cause offense. So let's all work together. That was on the recording, wasn't it? Oh well. If you're watching the video, I apologize. There you go. There's always a first time for everything, Ira. The next finger is the ring finger, the covenant finger, the finger that is the it symbolizes family, it symbolizes safety, symbolizes belonging. This is the shepherd. I don't use the word pastor because we've lost the meaning of pastor in the North American church. But the shepherd brings healing, brings freedom, creates an atmosphere of belonging for the people, creates an atmosphere of cultivating the fullness of who you're designed to be. And that's what the ring finger symbolizes. It's a covenantal role. And then finally, the teacher brings light and helps others to apply truth. The communication and conveying of truth is very important, because there's so much truth in the scripture, but too often it can be misunderstood. And the gift of the teacher can dig out the truth from places that the other gifts can't go. That's why the little finger is very often the finger that can kind of get in and pull out the truth from a situation. And then the whole hand works together to express the kingdom. We need all five. And as I've been describing those, my hope is that you've identified to some degree with more than one. Because it's not about which title are you going to claim to put on your business card or to have on your parking spot or anything like that. It's about how are we, as the hand of God, going to bring the experience of the kingdom to the Grand Strand. And so we need to blend those together. If I read just two more verses from Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16, and then we'll wrap it up by praying. Speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So our interaction with Jesus and our interaction with one another makes us healthy, makes us strong, and teaches us to live out the kingdom in our everyday lives. And that's what the Grand Strand is looking for, isn't it? Because our interactions outside this building, outside these gatherings, are how we get the answer to the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, just like it is in heaven. It's what we sang in one of the songs earlier, isn't it? And our answer to that prayer comes through the hand of God, the five gifts all working together in partnership, coming in to bring the kingdom here in this place. So what I'm going to suggest we do is pause for a moment and close our eyes and say, God, would you show me which of these apply most of all in my life that I could receive your commission to live out more than one of these fivefold? Think on that for just a second and I'll come back and pray. So what I feel to do is to pray through these from the last back to the first for the purpose that we would be able to express the kingdom wherever we go. So if you identify with the teacher or teaching gift, I want you just to hold your hands open and to receive a commissioning from God right now in the Holy Spirit. We want to bless the truth-telling that is so vital to you as the teacher gifting. We want to bless your ability to see the truth by revelation from God through the Scripture, empowered by the Holy Spirit. I want to bless the anointing for wholeness that you carry as a teacher, that you would bring together all of the truths into a place that brings others into that restful, whole place that they were designed for. And I want to bless your loyalty to the revelation of God, but also your loyalty to the body of Christ, that you constantly want to bring truth to set people free. You know that knowing the truth is what sets you free, and you know that you're being empowered in this moment to help others to know the truth, but also to know the truth for yourself. And so I commission you now in your everyday life, in your home, in your neighborhood, in your job, in your interactions with others, as well as in your interactions within the church family, to stand for truth in a way that brings others into freedom and wholeness. To stand for the revelation of truth that God has given you and to pass it on to others in a way that brings life. So we commission the teaching gift in our church family and in each one of us in Jesus' name. And then the shepherd gift, the ring finger, the covenantal gift. If you identify with that, I want you just to hold your hands open and to receive the blessing of God into that area of your wiring and into that part of the body that you fulfill. I want to bless your compassion, that you care for others in a way that brings life. I want to bless your diligence, that you are a shepherd of the sheep. You watch over the sheep. You're not a hired hand. You carry in your heart God's heart for his children, for his people. So I bless your diligence in shepherding and caring for others. And I also bless the impartation of freedom that comes from being safe within your covering for those around you, that you bring the safety of God. When Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, there's a facet of Jesus that lives in you as you express the shepherd gift, where you become a safe place for people to step into. And so I want to bless that impartation of freedom that comes from safety in God's presence and in your presence. And so I commission you now in your everyday life, in your neighborhood, down your street, in your home, in your workplace, in your relationships outside the church family, as well as your relationships inside our church family, I commission you to live out the values and the gifting of the shepherd gift in that covenantal role where nothing can separate you from the love of God. And you know that, and you convey it to others. I commission you to bring that covenantal relationship to others as well. In Jesus' name. Amen. And so if you identify with the evangelist, storyteller who invites others in, you just can't help telling how good Jesus is and how much love God has, so that others will be drawn in to the kingdom. If you identify with that, hold your hands open now. I want to bless you and allow you to receive a blessing from the Holy Spirit on that gifting in your life. So I bless your encouragement, where you open the door for others to step into more than they've yet experienced of God's life. I want to bless your enthusiasm, the way that you always find something to connect with others with. And so the way that you express the heart of God for relationship comes through your enthusiastic personality, through your enthusiasm for the kingdom of God. And I want to bless your connection with others, that there would always be that strong bond of the storyteller anointing over your life, that others would feel connected to you by the way that you demonstrate the story of Jesus through your daily life. And so I commission you in your daily life, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your friend circle, in the things that you do day by day or week by week, I commission you to demonstrate the kingdom by reaching further than others might in order to welcome others in, that you would invite them in and you would create that strong bond between the Father who loves every one of his children and the people who have not yet discovered that challenge and that invitation. So I thank you for your role in making Jesus famous here in the Grand Strand, and commission you to continue to grow in that anointing. And then we move to the prophetic, the pointing finger, the one that can bring revelation, the one that can bring the heart of God through hearing God. And if you've identified with any aspects of that, I want you to hold your hands open, because I want to bless that in you, and Holy Spirit wants to increase that in you. So those of us who identify with the prophetic, Father, I want to bless the activation that's already taken place in these lives, where you have activated something deep inside of them that's countercultural in our American church experience, but it's something that's so vital for the kingdom to come. And so, Father, the activation of the prophetic in each one, I ask you to continue to move on that gift in all of us here, each of us with our hands open before you now. Lord, let there be increased revelation, deeper revelation, more attractive, more invitational revelation of your heart through each of us who have our hands open before you right now. And I want to bless your sensitivity. Each of you who's identified that prophetic gifting, you're already very sensitive to the voice of God. But I bless you also to be sensitive to the people around you, that you would be able to make those connections, that you'd be able to join up the heart of the people in front of you and the people around you with the heart of God, that you'd help them and activate them in hearing God for themselves and not simply relying on you to hear God for them. So I bless you and I commission you to bring that revelation of God's heart as well as God's word into our community in whatever way God directs you to do that. It may be through action. It may be through words. It may be through demonstration. But I bless you to bring the revelation and the activation of others into that level of relationship with God that you have already tasted. And I bless you to go deeper in that as well. In Jesus' name. And I felt to leave the apostolic until last because I want to bless this in every one of us. Because like I said earlier, when we read the Great Commission, the apostolic is alive in every one of us, whether we've recognized it or not. We are all sent ones. Every one of us has a sending commission from the Father to bring the kingdom to the world through the places that he's put us in, through the roles that he's given us, through the opportunities that we have. So as we bless and commission the apostolic, let's all hold our hands open and ask Holy Spirit to take us deeper in this gifting. So Holy Spirit, thank you that every one of us has this gift in some measure, and the measure that we have it in is the measure of Christ's generosity. And so we want to bless the visionary aspect of the apostolic in each person in this room. I bless you to see a bigger vision of how influential you could be, of how you could make a difference for the kingdom in the settings that you are in, that God has placed you in. I bless you to see more clearly what God's heart for our region is. And I want to bless the strategy that God will give with the vision. So as he increases vision for you, I bless you to also grow in strategy, that you would know the next step, that you would know the plan, that you would see the blueprint, and you would know your part in it, that you would have the grace and the gifting to be able to draw together others toward the fulfilling and the making manifest of the blueprint of God. God is the architect, but I bless the master builder anointing in every one of you to build your part of the body of Christ through the gift of the apostolic. And I also want to bless the gift of patience, because sometimes the master builder simply has to wait for the next piece to fall into place, or the next inspection to come along, or the next milestone to be passed. And so I want to bless your patience, that you wouldn't be frustrated by what seems to you to be a lack of progress as you look at the big picture, as you look at the strategy. I bless you to know that you're keeping in step with the Father and you're only doing what the Father says. And so, Father, let there be a strong foundation, not just in our church family, but in all of the body of Christ across the Grand Strand, a strong foundation of the apostolic and the prophetic, that the church would be built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and not simply on the foundation of the pastors as we've done in the past. Father, would you release all five of these gifts, that your hand would be able to move in our region in a more powerful way. We thank you for it. We trust you for it. And we willingly step into our place in that prayer being answered. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. There's a lot more to be said about kingdom citizenship, but I wanted to limit it to that to avoid trying to drink from a fire hydrant. So we'll have another Kingdom Citizens episode somewhere further down the line. Woohoo! Next week, we're going to look at the ecclesia. We've already said that the church is the secretion of the kingdom, if you like, where the snail creates its own shell. The kingdom creates the church, and Brother Fount will be back. If anybody knows what the ecclesia should look like, it would be him. And so we've invited him to come and speak next week on the church and how that fits into the kingdom, or how the kingdom comes through the church. So invite a friend, bring him back next week, and hopefully those of us who are either sick or traveling will be back with us as well. We'll look forward to a wonderful time together. In the meantime, if any one of those you felt like you needed prayer for somebody to agree with you for any one of those five gifts in your life, you're welcome to come forward. I may not pray loudly, but I'd be glad to pray for you that you will move into the fullness of how God's designed you. Okay, God bless you. We'll be dismissed and we'll see you back next week.